The Lord's mercy is on me.
The EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents
Believe the Impossible and You Can Do the Incredible.
Fulton Sheen,
a prophet for our times.
What a blessing is our faith.
Hello, I'm Father Andrew Apostoli, member of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. Welcome to this series entitled Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, a prophet for our times. We're filming today in St. Patrick's Cathedral in Midtown Manhattan, and we're standing in front of the favorite place of Bishop Sheen in this cathedral, which is called the Mary Chapel. Our Lady, you can notice behind me, the Blessed Sacrament, and also the Blessed Virgin Mary. In one picture, you're bringing together the two great loves of Bishop Sheen's life, his love for Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament, his love for the Blessed Virgin Mary. In this talk, we're going to focus on his love for the Blessed Sacrament, particularly focusing in something for which he is known all over the world, in the Catholic world, and that is his holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament. He said that he called it the hour that made my day, and he also referred to it as the hour of power.
Well, Fulton Sheen, as far as I can tell from college on, certainly from seminary on, spent an hour every day of his life before the Blessed Sacrament. When a priest, he said a Mass every day of his life, and he said the Rosary every day from the time he was almost an infant, because the family did it together at night. So his devotional life, he went to Lourdes some 14 times. Two miracles happened to him at Lourdes. His devotional life was, I think, an inspiration for us all. He was a real one.
This kneeler was the personal kneeler of Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, which he had in his private chapel at his residence here in New York City. He spent many an hour in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament that he had at his residence. And so this chapel represents a great aspect of his life, his love for Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament, and his faithfulness to his daily holy hour before Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament.
He knelt down at a pre-do in the sacristy, and I'm not kidding you, he stayed there for 1 hour in prayer, almost motionless position, with his head slightly bowed, but his back very erect. I could just see his back. So I stayed at the door. I guess I got a little closer because I'm a priest, and I just got at the door. I thought he would just take a few minutes. Just thinking back, I think I began to pray a little bit. It kind of made me think of, like, what just happened, all the things that have happened. So priest to priest, he kind of really helped me a lot.
You might ask, where was he inspired to do this? Well, he told the story of what inspired him. It was a story of a 12-year-old little Chinese girl. When the communists took over the parish that she lived in China, they put the priest under house arrest. And then they went over to the church and they opened up the tabernacle. And they took out the ciborium and threw the hosts all over the floor in the sanctuary. They desecrated the Blessed Sacrament. And when the Chinese soldiers, communist soldiers, were doing this, there was a 12-year-old little girl in the back of the church. Either they didn't see her or they didn't care if she saw what they were doing. But this impressed that little girl very deeply. And what she did was heroic. There were 32 hosts in that ciborium. The priest, who was under house arrest, knew how many hosts he had in the tabernacle. And that little girl, every night when it was dark, snuck back to the church. And when the guard who was watching the priest under house arrest was sleeping a lot of the time, when he was sleeping, the little girl snuck her way into the church. And every night for 32 nights, she spent 1 hour in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, the host, Jesus, scattered all over the floor. And then in those days, the lay people never touched the host with their hands. And so what she did is got down on her hands and knees and with her tongue licked up one host each night. And on the 32nd night, the last night after she had consumed the last host, she was leaving the church. She opened the door, and as she was closing the door of the church, it banged. And the guard who was asleep heard the bang, woke up, and saw the little girl. She panicked. She began to run. And as she was running away, the guard ran after her, and with his rifle, he beat that little girl to death. She was a martyr for the sake of the Eucharist. And when Bishop Sheen, young Father Sheen, read that story, he was so inspired. He said, if that little girl could risk her life 32 times to spend an hour with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, in reparation, in love, he said, I can spend 1 hour of every day of my life before the Blessed Sacrament. And so it became the hour that made his day, and the hour of power. As he said, we slough off the indifference of the world, he said. We get filled and energized by the power of Christ in the Eucharist. And he says this is what daily renewed him in his beautiful vocation of the Eucharist. And he said it was from the Eucharist, from his love for Jesus before the Blessed Sacrament, that he drew his strength. And so it was a promise made or renewed on the day of his ordination. Plus he made a second promise that he would, every Saturday when he could, he would offer the Mass of the Blessed Virgin Mary, asking her to intercede for and to protect his vocation as a priest. And so his two loves came together here in the Mary Chapel, the love of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament and the love of Our Lady. When I was ordained by Bishop Sheen on March 16, 1967, in the homily of the ordination mass, he spoke about the importance of the Eucharist. He said it is the very center of our Catholic faith, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And he said to me, Father Andrew, what power you have received in your ordination. He said you have the power to go up, in a sense, to the cross on Calvary, to take that cross and Jesus upon it and lay it down, he said, in the Capuchin Friary. He said in Africa, Asia, anywhere in the world. He said what Jesus did on the cross was localized in time and space. It happened on Good Friday. It happened on the hill in Calvary outside of Jerusalem. But the power of the Eucharist, the power of the Mass, is meant for the whole world. And so, to spread over time and space, Jesus gave to his priests the power to renew that sacrifice in an unbloody manner. Jesus can no longer suffer. Jesus can no longer die. But to make present the power of what Jesus did on Calvary. As Pope John Paul II has said, the death of Christ is the greatest act of love the world has ever seen. And that was meant for all of God's people throughout time. He also spoke about how important it was for us to believe in the Eucharist. He said, you know, whenever there is a falling off in the faith of our Catholic people, the first place it's seen is in regard to the Eucharist. And isn't that true? When a Catholic begins to wane in their faith and their love for God, what's the first thing that happens in their living out their life as a Catholic? They stop going to Mass. They no longer find meaning in the Mass. The Eucharist becomes, you know, something ritualistic and, you know, just doing the same thing over and over again. Why? Because their faith growing weak, they no longer realize this is Christ reenacting, in a sense, his passion by offering the love that he had for us when he died for us on that cross of Calvary. And he used chapter 6 of St. John's Gospel to show how important it is to accept the teaching of Christ on the Eucharist. He said when Jesus fed the crowds of people from the 5 loaves and 2 fish that the little boy had given him, he said the next day the people wanted to make him a king, but he called it a bread king. In other words, if they could have Jesus as their king, he could provide bread for them every day. They never have to do a stitch of work for the rest of their lives. And he told them, don't work for the bread that feeds the body. Rather, he said, work for the bread that feeds the soul, the life of the soul. And what is that bread? He said, I am that living bread come down from heaven. And he promised to give us his body and blood as our food and drink. And when he said that, some in the crowd said, this is too hard a saying. And so Bishop Sheen said he lost the crowds that day. Further on, as he insisted on this point, some of his own disciples walked away. And Bishop Sheen said he lost some of the disciples that day. They said, the Gospel said, they walked with him no more. But worst of all, he lost one of his apostles that day in regard to that promise of the Eucharist. Because when he turned to the 12, as some of the disciples were walking away, and he said to them, will you leave me also? And Peter, who always speaks the faith of the church, he said, Lord, we've come to believe in you. We know that you alone have the words of eternal life. Who else can we go to? And Jesus said to the 12, did I not choose all 12 of you? He said, yet one of you has a devil. And Bishop Sheen pointed out that was a reference to Judas, who did not believe. His heart was not one with Jesus in the Eucharist. And he says that was the first crack in the wall of Judas priesthood. He did not believe in the Eucharist. And Bishop Sheen said, Judas, unfortunately, is the symbol of a priest who does not have room in his life, his priestly life, for the love of the Eucharist. Never spends time before the Blessed Sacrament. And because of that, Judas eventually fell away. Did he not fall away when Christ actually gave the Eucharist at the Last Supper? Because the Gospel says that the devil entered his heart and moved Judas to betray Christ. And he left that Last Supper room before the Lord gave us the Eucharist. So the Eucharist is very, very important for us as Catholics. And Bishop Sheen always encouraged us to pray before the Blessed Sacrament. There were three reasons that he gave why the Eucharist is so important, that holy hour is so important. First of all, he said Jesus asked for it. Remember when our Blessed Lord, after the Last Supper, the apostles had received their first Holy Communion. They went forth from the Last Supper room to the Garden of Olives. And there Jesus left most of the apostles in the outer part of the garden and took three of them, Peter, James, and John, with him to the inner part of the garden. And there, if you go there to the Church of All the Nations, built over the Garden of Gethsemane, you'll see the rock where Christ prayed in his agony. But he asked the apostles, these three, watch and pray 1 hour with me. And Bishop Sheen said, it's the one thing Jesus asked of his priests. And he asks that of all his people, could you not watch and pray 1 hour with me? It's an hour to spend in the companionship of Christ. When people love one another, they love to spend time together. If we love Jesus, what more can we do to show that love than to spend time with him in his beautiful gift of the Blessed Sacrament? He gave us that gift so that he would be with us always. So that's the first reason why Bishop Sheen made that holy hour, so that he could spend that hour with Christ, because the Lord asked him for that hour every day. The second reason that he spent the time before the Blessed Sacrament was because he knew that we grow in likeness to Christ as we are in his presence. You know, it's interesting, but in the lives of some of the saints, as they prayed before the Blessed Sacrament, saints like St. Peter Julian Aimard, who founded the Blessed Sacrament Fathers, even St. Benedict Joseph Labre, they say as these saints prayed before the Blessed Sacrament, their faces actually began to change into the likeness of the face of Christ. And people testified at their canonization process that they had witnessed this as these saints prayed before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. So what happened physically to them happened spiritually to us, that we begin to take on a greater and greater likeness to Jesus. And so that time spent before the Blessed Sacrament influences our lives. This is what Bishop Sheen said. He said, the purpose of the holy hour is to encourage deep personal encounter with Christ. The holy and glorious God is constantly inviting us to come to him, to hold converse with him, to ask for such things as we need, and to experience what blessing there is in fellowship with him. It is a way of knowing Christ rather than knowing about him. In other words, friends get to know one another by spending time with each other. And we will know Jesus, not just in a theoretical way, an academic way, but know him as a personal friend as we spend that time with him, being transformed more and more into his likeness.
Bishop Sheen, during his holy hour, which he used for meditative prayer at the beginning of every single day for 60 years as a priest, even starting in the seminary, knew the value of kind of bouncing it off Jesus, kind of sharing his thoughts and allowing Jesus to modify those. And he would even give certain like presentations to Jesus when he was present with him, much like our Holy Father, John Paul II. Bishop Sheen had a little table there and a little notebook when he was in meditation at times relative to some important subjects about which he might be writing. He always loved that companionship and the influence of the Spirit and Jesus, especially in present in the tabernacles. Much again like this current Holy Father, he promoted devotion to Jesus in the Eucharist throughout his priesthood, especially by him making it so open about how he would never start a day without an hour in prayer and loving adoration of his Eucharistic Jesus.
He goes on to say in another place, the Holy Hour becomes like an oxygen tank to revive the breath of the Holy Spirit in the midst of the foul and fetid atmosphere of the world. Even when it seemed unprofitable and lacking in spiritual intimacy, I still had the sensation of at least being like a dog at the Master's door, ready in case he called me. The Hour, too, became a magister and teacher. For although before we love anyone, we must have a knowledge of that person, nevertheless, after we know, it is love that increases knowledge. Theological insights are gained not only from the two covers of a treatise, but from two knees on a prie-dieu before a tabernacle. We learn not in our head, but in our heart. And someone has called these the longest 18 inches in the world. So the second reason for the Holy Hour before the Blessed Sacrament was to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. And the third reason he encouraged the Holy Hour was in reparation. You know, he points out that in the Gospel, the hour was always used for evil. Like when he was taken prisoner and he said to those who took him prisoner, this is your hour and the hour of darkness. And so he said, he asked Jesus would be given great reparation for the hour of evil by our spending that 1 hour with him, to pray for the conversion of sinners, to pray for the salvation of the world. After all, there's a tremendous power that goes forth from the Eucharist, power that transforms lives. And as we spend that time with Jesus, we can ask and pray that the Lord will draw many souls to himself. Many, as Our Lady of Fatima said, many souls are lost from God because there is no one to pray and to sacrifice for them. So here before the Blessed Sacrament, we have a wonderful opportunity to bring souls to Christ by letting the power of Christ in every tabernacle in the world go forth to renew the whole world.
Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Let's return to Fulton Sheen, a prophet for our times, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Bishop Sheen found much inspiration as he prayed there before the Blessed Sacrament. In fact, like Pope John Paul II, he used to have a little pad and a pen near him as he prayed before the Blessed Sacrament, because he said any inspirations he got, he would write them down. You know, when he was in high school and he was on the debate team, the priest who was his coach said to him, you have absolutely no natural talent as a public speaker. And so when people would praise him for preaching so beautifully later on in his life, he would say, no, I have no talent as a preacher. It all comes from the power of the Blessed Sacrament, because he would write his sermons there before the Blessed Sacrament. And we know that before all of his TV programs, when he did his Life is Worth Living series, he came here to Our Lady's Chapel and spent sometimes 20 minutes, even 40 minutes, an hour before the Blessed Sacrament to be empowered by the power of Christ in the Eucharist to present his program live on television. And we know that when Pope John Paul II visited the cathedral in his first visit to the United States in 1979, Bishop Sheen was back here in the crowd of bishops, was back in the Lady Chapel when the Holy Father came
into the sanctuary of St. Patrick's Cathedral. He was walking up the aisle with Cardinal Cook. He looked around, and he thought he would see Bishop Sheen right there, but he wasn't. And he said to Cardinal Cook, "Where is Bishop Sheen?" And they found the bishop here in the Mary Chapel behind me. And he was called forth, and the Holy Father embraced him before a thunderous applause of the crowd that was here that day.
Shortly before the bishop died, when the Pope came to visit, and he was in St. Patrick's Cathedral, there is a beautiful picture we have of the Pope embracing the bishop. And the bishop gave us a copy of the picture, and on it he wrote, "With the love and affection from the rock and the pebble." And I said, "Well, who's who?" And he roared laughing.
There's an interesting and funny story told about a practice Bishop Sheen had when he was studying in Rome. He used to stop in every church that he passed, going from his residence to the school. And he would make a little visit to the Blessed Sacrament. And of course, in Rome, there are many churches, so he made many visits. And someone asked him, "Why do you do this?" He said, "Well, knowing the traffic in Rome," he said, "I pray in every church. First, I ask the Lord, protect me as I go across the street. And when I get to the other side, I go in again, and I thank the Lord that I made it." So if you've ever been to Rome, you know why that was certainly a good practice. But Bishop Sheen has left to us a legacy, a challenging legacy of spending that 1 hour before the Blessed Sacrament. Sometimes when he would talk about it, people would say, "Well, I don't have time to do that. I can't waste an hour." And he used to say with a certain amount of sarcasm, even in his retreats, he used to say, "Go and waste an hour before the Blessed Sacrament." As if we don't waste hours watching television, reading the newspapers, and doing that, huh?
I'm going to give you some examples of how lives are changed by submitting to the mercy of God. There was a man who used to come into a church in London, St. Patrick's Church. Every morning when I would open the church, he would come in and take one of the back pews, kneel down, not go to communion. He would come in about 7 o'clock. Not go to communion until about 9. He never used a prayer book. And he would meditate until about 11:30 in the morning, then go out, come back again in the afternoon, and stay until the church closed at night. Never spoke to anyone. After noticing this for several months, I said to him, "If you were you always as good as you are now?" That was a test question, because if he said yes, I knew I would know he wasn't any good. And he said, "Well, considering the graces that I have received, I am 1,000 times worse now than I ever was." Then he told me about himself. He was an alcoholic. And he said, "I was such an alcoholic that I used to take off my shoes at the pub door, the saloon door, and sell them for a drink. But," he said, "I would take the pledge every Ash Wednesday and keep it until Easter Sunday." And he did that every year, he says. Then one day he said to himself, "If I can be good for 40 days, why can't I be good for 40 years? So I decided to be good for 40 years. But he said it wasn't quite that easy. I went into Maiden Lane Church, and I remembered him very well, and I dropped into Maiden Lane Church about 9 months ago in London just to say a prayer for this good man, though I'm sure he doesn't need it. And he came into the church. There are 3 steps leading up from the Covent Garden section of London to the main floor of the church. And he knelt in the front pew for benediction. And as Father Carney laid hold of the monstrance to begin the benediction, he said there came over him overwhelming passion for drink and for vice. He said, if the temptations of a lifetime were concentrated in one moment, they could not equal that agony. And he said, it was so great that I couldn't stand it. So I bounded out of the pew, ran down the middle aisle, and I stumbled on the three steps. And as the benediction bell rang, he said, I tore out my heart and I turned around. And I said, dear Lord, forgive me. I will go to confession. And he said, I have had no drink since. And I spend my life in prayer. How many hours do you pray a day? Oh, he said, about 18. I said, what do you consider a really good day? He said, 24. I live, he said, in the same dive that I lived in when I was an alcoholic. And many a night, I will kneel alongside of my cot all night long praying for all the alcoholics. This was recycled garbage that the Lord loved. No wonder our Lord said, there's more joy in heaven for one sinner doing penance than 99 just who need not penance.
There's never a waste when we find ourselves before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. May the Lord give you his peace.
For more audio and videotapes by Archbishop Sheen, contact Keep the Faith Foundation at www.keepthefaith.org. Or write to Keep the Faith Foundation, 50 South Franklin Turnpike, Ramsey, New Jersey, 07446.
Join us again next week at this time when Father Andrew Apostoli examines the life and work of Archbishop Fulton Sheen here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.